I'm glad my wife was here this morning to hear those introductory words by Brother Rod Smith. I feel flattered indeed and unworthy of what he had to say, but I appreciate it so much. I remember the story was told about Alvin Barkley, senator from the state of Kentucky, back several years ago when they dedicated the dam over in western Kentucky, and Senator Barkley was there. And the one who introduced him had a lot of flowery things to say about him. And came time for Barkley to speak, he stated that he appreciated so much what whoever it was, he gave his name, said about him. He wasn't deserving of it, unworthy of everything they said, but he'd been mighty disappointed if he hadn't said it. We're grateful for your presence. Appreciate you coming. If you're visiting with us, you're our honored guest, and we want you to feel that you're most welcome. I'm studying this morning a topic or subject that I entitle Jesus or Nothing. And I'm reading from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, that is, unto Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is one of the seven great I Ams in the Gospel of John. In the 6th chapter, verse 48, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In the 8th chapter, verse 12, I am the light of the world. In the 10th chapter, verse 9, I am the door. Verse 11 of that chapter, I am the good shepherd. In chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. In chapter 15, verse 1, I am the vine. But here in this verse, our Lord says, I am the way, the truth, the life. And all of these I ams show something about the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. But here in the 6th verse, ladies and gentlemen, we see a statement or a self-concession of Jesus that satisfies every need of man. Now look at it. Man is lost, the Bible teaches, and he needs a way. He's lost by trying to figure out his own way or walk in his own way. Isaiah 53, verse 6. We like sheep have gone astray. We have everyone turned to his own way. But we don't know the way. That's the problem. Jeremiah 10, verse 23 says, O Lord, we know that the way is not in man. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Now there's a way that seemeth right unto man, Solomon said, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So man is lost and he needs a way. Secondly, ladies and gentlemen, man is ignorant and he needs the truth. The Jews were ignorant of the righteousness of God, went about to establish their own righteousness, Romans 10, verse 3. The Gentiles were alienated from the life of God through ignorance and blindness of their hearts, Ephesians 4 and verse 18. So the truth is needed. Thirdly, man is dead, Ephesians 2 and verse 1. You have thee quickened. who were dead in trespasses and sins, and hence he needs life. Now Jesus furnishes all of these. That's what he says in this text. Now our Lord starts by saying, I, and that's exclusive. There's not anybody else. I am the way. Peter in Acts 4 and verse 12 said there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. So it's Jesus or nothing. That's why I entitled it this. But our Lord said now, I am the way. Jesus doesn't or didn't merely, ladies and gentlemen, teach the way, nor guide us in the way, or simply dedicate the way, as Hebrews 10 teaches. But this passage says that he himself is the way. And indeed, he is. He's the way in a twofold sense. He's the way, first of all, from God to man. Jesus had to become man. And in becoming man, he was able to serve or function as a priest. Hebrews chapter 2. He took on himself flesh so that he through death could overcome the power of him, namely Satan. That he could be tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so God's highway to man was through the man, Jesus Christ. And in like manner, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is man's way, or I should say in reverse, Jesus is man's way to God. Now in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18-19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing trespasses against them. Now Jesus said, I am the way. He's the way from heaven to earth, from God to man, and he's the way from man to God. And I want you to observe in the text that he didn't say that he was a way. And that's what a lot of folks think. That there are different approaches to God. And there are different manifestations of God. And God in this world is dealing with man through different avenues. But Jesus said, I am the way. There's not any other. Not any other. Verse 6, the latter part of John 14 says, No man cometh to the Father but by me. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, to deny that is a repudiation of the sonship of Jesus Christ, reflection upon his integrity. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who was God in the flesh, said there's no way to come to the Father but by me. And I believe that with all of my heart. I mentioned Norman Benson Peale the other Sunday. Peale, being interviewed, made the statement that for him, Christ is the only way, but that isn't necessarily so for everybody else. I feel like what Adlai Stevenson said years ago about Peale. He said he found that the Apostle Paul was quite appealing, but Peale quite appalling. And I think there's some truth in that. I am the way. I want to tell you, friends, no man can be the way because he doesn't have the power to redeem anybody. Are you listening? The church is not the way. All the saved are in the church, but ladies and gentlemen, the church can't save anybody. It's Jesus the Christ who's the Savior of the world. And I want to tell you something else. A ritual or a rite cannot save or redeem anyone. And I don't care how many times one is baptized, baptism in and of itself can't save anybody. And some of us, I think, might have the notion that simply because we were immersed, that we're guaranteed everlasting life. That rite can't save you in and of itself. I don't diminish or denigrate the rite or the act of baptism. It's a part in obedience to God. But I want to tell you, friend, that salvation is in a person and not in a rite. And if we have faith in the person, we're going to comply with his teachings and commandments and statutes. And we reflect or show our faith by being baptized because he said so. Our noble deeds and works of righteousness can't save us. That's not the way. Jesus the Christ is the way. And I want to put the emphasis this morning on Christ and faith and commitment and trust to him is the only way to heaven. There's no way but by the cross, as we sing many, many times a beautiful song. Now the prophet said, long time ago, over 700 years before Jesus came into the world, in the 35th chapter of Isaiah, verse 8, look at it in your Bible. Isaiah said, and a highway shall be there. Now he's talking about this way of Christ. A highway shall be there, and a way. There are many ways, and we've got to make the choice. He said there's going to be a way there, but it shall be called the way. Now among the ways, ladies and gentlemen, there's only one way, and it's called the way of holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over. Only the redeemed, only those who've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, is going to walk in this way, this road, this path, and nobody else. The defiled, the contaminated, the profane, the unholy, the sinful, the wicked shall not walk in it. Now I'm told in Upper Egypt, Luxor and Karnak, there was a path or a way between those two ancient temples. The road came from one and led over to the other. And only the ceremonially clean could walk on that way. Now God has a road that's the way of holiness. And only the clean shall walk thereon. And look at the latter part of it. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. It's going to be a simple way. Here's a man, the fool, who must recognize his dependence upon God. Using the same way, if my understanding is correct, as Paul used in the 1 Corinthians, in the 1 Corinthian letter, that we become fools. We who think we're wise must become fools. That is, recognize our need and dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must realize we must be fools for Christ's sake. We must depend on him and walk in this way of holiness, the way unto heaven. But let's notice again. He not only said, I am the way, but he said, I am the truth. Now truth, brethren and friends, is a scarce commodity. You don't find it everywhere. The ancient Grecian philosophers searched for it. but they never attained it. None found it. And Pilate asked this question when he was before and interrogating Jesus Christ, said, "What is truth?" And the answer is found right here in the Gospel of John. Jesus is the truth. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21, Paul said that the truth is in Christ. Christ is the embodiment of truth. You don't find any outside of it. Jesus Christ is the expression of God. He's the self-revelation of God. And you turn to John 1 and 14 and verse 17, "And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, full of grace and truth." And you go down to verse 17, "The law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ." Now, if we want to know the truth, friend, we're going to come to Christ. It won't be found anywhere else. Now, we have a religion in the world called the Baha religion. And their headquarters, their temple, central temple, is in Israel. They teach that truth totally, completely isn't found in any religious organization. That nobody has a monopoly on it. And so they take what they say is the eclectic approach. And by eclectic approach, they mean that you just pick out a little from one and a little from another and put it all together, and then you have a body of truth. Now, friend, let me tell you something, something I'm sure you already know. That nobody else under God's Son has truth except Jesus Christ. And you can journey all over the face of this world and you won't find it in Mohammedism. You won't find it in Buddha. You won't find it in Taoism or Confucianism. The only place that the truth of God is found is in Jesus Christ. And I might add, you won't find it in Mormonism either through Joe Smith, or in Jehovah's Witness through Pastor Russell. It's not there. Or in Seventh-day Adventism through Mary Baker Glover Eddy. They don't have it. They never had it. All truth is in Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you this morning that it's complete in Him. He is the fountain of truth. He is the source of truth. And from Him proceeds the words of truth. By the truth, we're made free. And only the truth of Christ, from Christ. Jesus said in John 8:32, "Ye shall know the truth, and only this truth will make you free." Jesus said in His prayer to the Father just before the crucifixion, in the 17th chapter of John, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth." And that's the only place that truth may be found. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, "Seeing you have purified your hearts in obeying the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren." In John 15 and verse 3, Jesus said, "You are clean through the Word." Now, friend, if we want to be cleansed and sanctified and freed from the guilt of sin, the only place that we're going to find that is in Jesus Christ. Come to Christ. Know the truth. Learn the truth. Nothing but the truth. And I like what Adam Clark said concerning this expression or statement here, "I am the truth." He said, among other things, that Jesus is the truth in opposition to all false religions. And that's right. And Jesus is the truth in contrast to the Mosaic law as far as its types and shadows are concerned. Now turn in your Bible to Colossians 2
and verse 17. And here Paul says,
concerning the Old Testament economy, about new moons and meats and days and Sabbath days, he said, which things are a shadow, but the body is Christ. That is, the reality is Jesus Christ. You've got to have reality before you have a shadow. If you don't have an object, there can't be a shadow. And these things in the Old Testament, Hebrews 10:1 teaches, were but a shadow and not the very image of the thing. Neighbor, Jesus is the image. And so he's the truth. He's the reality. In contrast to the shadows and types and symbols. He's the only truth in the world as opposed to false religion. But the third thing, as time gets away, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life is in Christ. God put it there. In your Bible, in John 5, verse 26, as the Father hath life in himself, so gave his son to have life in him. Jesus is the life in its fullness. In him we have eternal life. In 1 John 5 and verse 11, this is a record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Now friend, if we want to live, are you listening? If we want to live forever, forever, and forever, we're going to have to be in Christ. Life in opposition to death. Death, eternal separation from God. If we don't want to go to hell and spend eternity in misery and despair, we're going to have to come to Christ. If we don't want to suffer what the Bible calls this eternal death, we're going to have to come to Jesus Christ, where life is found. And I want to show you that the Bible teaches that this life is given to the world. John 6 and verse 33. Jesus is the bread that came down from heaven and the gate to give life unto the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Life in Christ. And Jesus came, according to John 10 and verse 10, that we might have life and have it abundantly. Also, Jesus is spoken of as having the words of life. Peter said in John 6 and verse 68, when the multitudes walked away from Jesus, when he wouldn't give them another fish dinner, and he asked his disciples, perhaps in a melancholy tone, he says, do you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of life. Now, if I want to be alive in Christ Jesus, I've got to be regenerated. I've got to obey and accept the words of life. And we sing the song, sing them over and over again to me. And indeed, we should rejoice in the fact that there is life offered in Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, the life. And as we look at this, there seems to be a paradox. A contradiction. Jesus said, I am the way. And yet, just in a few hours, he'd be hanging on an impotent tree. Jesus said, I am the truth. And yet, shortly, the lies of evil and wicked men would prevail at his trial. Jesus said, I am the life. And in just a little while, he'd be lying corpse in a tomb. But our Lord overcame the grave, substantiated and vindicated his claim and confession that indeed he was the truth, the Son of God, to open up the living way into life everlasting. Jesus came forth from the grave. Let me tell you something, friend. Became the way. And in becoming the way, there is no going without Jesus Christ. Jesus became the truth, and without Christ, there is no knowing. And Jesus became the life, and without Christ, the life, there is no living. Without Christ, there's no going. Without Christ, there's no knowing. Without Christ, there's no living. It's either Jesus Christ or nothing. And where do you stand this morning? Are you a Christian? Will you come and render obedience to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Will you surrender your heart? Humble yourself to make that great confession that He indeed is the Son of God. And I believe it. And by believing it, trusting in Him, and obeying His will, I'll have life everlasting. It's Jesus or nothing. It's Christ. Because there's nothing else. The hope of glory. Colossians 1, verse 27. You can't be saved without Jesus Christ. You can't be saved without obedience to Jesus Christ. You can't be saved without following Jesus Christ. From this low land of sin and sorrow to that happy home beyond this veil of tears. Will you come this morning? Young people, will you have the courage and the faith to step out? And to obey what you claim you believe? Will you repent of your sins and say, I want to be a Christian so I can walk this way and buy this truth and have this life and go to heaven in the after while? Because no man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus said. And that's right, my friend. Will you come? Believing, repenting of your sins, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. You'll be added to the Lord's church by compliance with God's will and live faithfully, committed and dedicated to Him, the person Jesus Christ, and you go to heaven. Have life everlasting. Would you do it right now? All together we stand.
Jesus is standing in violent fall, rendered, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, but meaneth the sudden call. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus, my friend? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, oh friend, what will he do with me? Jesus is standing on trial still. You can be false to him if you will. You can be faithful through good or ill. What will he do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus, my friend? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, oh friend, what will he do with me?
Before we sing the next stanza, there's some of this audience that don't obey the gospel. I've failed somewhere, Sunday after Sunday, to bring you to conviction. Doesn't it ever bother your conscience? How can you live with yourself and sleep at night, alienated and separated from God Himself? I'm going to tell you, friend, it's serious business, and I think you know that. I hope you know that. As we sing this next stanza, won't you come and just obey the gospel of Christ this morning? Why put it off? Is your heart so hardened that you can't respond anymore? I believe that that isn't the case with most of us in this audience, if not everybody. I believe that there's a pull at your heart saying, come, come, go, go.
But there's another voice saying, stay some more convenient day. But that may never happen. Won't you come this morning and be baptized? Or if you've been unfaithful as a child of God, won't you come and be restored? We can't live in sin without repenting of it if we expect God's forgiveness and confessing those sins. And if you're subject this morning, would you come while we sing the next thing?